All right, and welcome to episode 314 of the Extra Features Podcast, the movie review podcast where we discuss the latest and greatest and also some oldies but goodies. I am Doug, and I am joined by the illustrious founder of Extra Features.
What's really weird is that I am the illustrious founder. Hey, you forgot, we also spoil many, many, many movies.
That is true. We will be spoiling the hell out of some movies.
So make sure you watch them ahead. And also, we are available on YouTube now.
Woo!
So there's lots of stuff on YouTube. If you like our interviews, which I know many people do, they download them. So there's many there, and you can see how ugly I am. So, perfect.
Nice.
So, what have you been up to, Doug?
Kind of just a lot of school stuff with my kids, to be perfectly honest. Working on some scripts with Owen. He asked me to read some of his stuff and give him notes. And then my other son, Dylan, was in our this high school play. He's on the track team, so there's been meets and stuff. So just lots of school stuff for my kids.
I'm in dance season, so my constant dance competitions, driving to pick up from dance, driving extra practice for dance, and me personally, I've been weightlifting a lot, so I've been told, have you ever heard this? So I hit two PRs last week, which means personal record, right? Which is a big issue. I'm happy. I don't give a crap what they were. It doesn't mean anything to anybody else but me. I was talking to my friend, the trainer, who's a good resource we talked to, and he's like, what are you doing tomorrow? I said, I'm not going to lift. He goes, no, you're not allowed to lift heavy to your PRs for 4 days. I said, what do you mean? I said, you should take two off. He's like, no, four. I said, why?
Okay.
He goes, because you're, he says, inside, he said, you may feel great, but he said, you're tingling. Your muscles are done. You've spent them.
Really? Okay.
Which I've never heard of. And he said, yeah, you got to take a break. Because, I mean, okay, I'll get into a bit more, I guess. So I went to lift 405 pounds. Mm-hmm. Yesterday. So I did 395 deadlift off the ground. So that's great. Let's go to 405 because that's what I've always wanted to hit. Four plates. Couldn't lock it in. About an inch away. Tried twice. Couldn't lock it in. And I was done for the day. Like, I still worked out for another hour, but it was nothing heavy.
Mm-hmm.
It was just today. And today I went down to the bench at 185 pounds. And then I went up to 220 pounds. And I can only do two. And I said, you know what? I'm done. My body is telling me to stop. So maybe he's got something there. That's what I'm just saying. Yeah. That's what I'm lifting. So it doesn't mean I'm going to stop lifting. It just means I'm not going to lift heavy. So therefore, going to the gym a lot, I have not watched a lot of film, but I've watched everything for a show. I'm good about that. And I did watch something we'll discuss, probably discussing next episode, I presume, with some animated guys, maybe.
Okay.
But I have seen that.
Oh, I think I know what you're referring to. I
didn't
not...
see the puzzle movie yet. That has not been watched.
Okay, I have not seen The Rainbow Road, shall we say.
Okay, well, I wasn't sure if you would have, but you know me.
Yeah.
It's probably sure I would have seen it already. Just by my personality. So I guess we can continue on since our illustrious hero Kevin is still on 18,000 shows in a row.
Yes.
I think he's down in your country still. I don't think he's up here yet.
I think this last weekend might have been his first free weekend in like months.
Yeah, so he will be rejoining us, people. He hasn't left.
Mm-hmm. Just very busy.
Meisenheimer, I don't know what he's up to. He's doing whatever he wants to do.
Yes. And before we get into any reviews, I just want to say rip to Bill Butler, the cinematographer of my all-time favorite film, Jaws. He was 101, and he just passed away this week.
Well, I got you beat. I'm going to above you with Al Jaffe, one of my favorite cartoonists, died at 102 yesterday.
Wow. Two legends who went over 100. That's amazing.
I mean, that's just amazing, getting over 100. I got to give everybody full credit for making over 90, and then you get 100, you're like, you win.
Exactly.
So are we hitting reviews? Is any of your kids coming on this week? Or
No, I got 2 deadbeats this week, so it's just me and you.
Oh, okay. You say so.
All right. So I guess we'll start off with some Creed 3, directed by Michael B. Jordan, starring Michael B. Jordan, Jonathan Majors, and Tessa Thompson.
Ooh, the Tessa Thompson.
I like her. I thought she was good in this one.
I'm hit and miss on Tessa Thompson. I never think she's bad.
Mm-hmm.
I never think she's really good.
I think she's been really good. You didn't watch HBO's Westworld, did you?
No. With Thandie Newton?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I love Thandie Newton, so I should watch it one day. I think I canceled, didn't it?
Yes, after 4 seasons. But Tessa Thompson.
You tell me.
I thought it ended on a good note, that if it was the last season, I thought it had a good ending. I would have liked to have seen it gone on longer. I liked the show, but yeah, it was good. I would recommend it.
Well, that's good. Oh, maybe I'll put on my long list of things I'll never get to, but it will.
Fair.
Make it on there.
But anyway, we have both seen Creed 3.
Right, back to Creed 3. I don't know. I kind of say I'm kind of done with these movies. Like, I don't think this really added anything to the franchise. Just another boxing movie with an ending we knew was coming. Mm-hmm. Jonathan Majors, to me, so far, is just on fire. Like, he's the best part of Ant-Man. He is the best part of Creed 3. He just looks like a beast. And the problem with Creed 3 for me, it's just okay. Like, I didn't really love any of the cinematography. I didn't love the storyline. I just thought it was predictable most of the time. Remind me a lot of Rocky 5.
Okay. I will say, of the 3 Creed films, the first one was fantastic. It was amazing. The second one, I didn't really care for. The third one, I liked more than number 2, but it in no way holds a candle to number 1. My problem with the Creed movies is they're dwelling too much on the past. That's what the first Creed didn't do. It was about the future. He wasn't fighting Drago's son in the first one. It was a completely new boxer. This one, it just relied too much on the past. I kind of wish Jonathan Majors didn't play somebody from Creed's past. I would have liked him better as a completely new character, just a new opponent who called him out or something. And it took way too long to get to the boxing at the end. The Rocky films are known for their training montages, and we had to wait 3/4 of the way through the film to get to the training montage. I did like it better than Creed 2, but that wasn't a high bar to jump, in my opinion.
Well, Creed 3 had to have a few moments. Like, we had to have a lot of family time.
Mm-hmm.
We got to meet his daughter, who seems to be a bit of a rebel.
But then we just dropped it. I kind of wanted more with the daughter.
She's kind of the best part.
If they were going to do so with I forget Jonathan Majors' character, Dame. If they wanted to make him more threatening, why not bring Dame in and have him teach the daughter how to box? That way he's going against the parents' wishes of teaching the daughter how to fight and getting maybe the daughter on his side. There was more dramatic things that could have been done than just, oh, we know each other from the past and you ran away when I got arrested. I think there was more that could have been done. I did enjoy the way Michael B. Jordan filmed the boxing matches.
Oh, I did like the filming.
I think this is his directorial debut, feature film-wise. I don't know if he's made shorts or anything. But I know he's heavily influenced by anime.
Pretty evident.
And you could see that a lot in the boxing matches. I liked his style, just I didn't care for the story all that much in this one, to be perfectly honest.
There's nothing to add to the story. Like I said, there's no real depth to me other than the daughter. We know the outcome, other than we don't know if Creed's going to win. I mean, we don't know that going into the fight.
Yeah, but you could guess.
I think you could guess, yes. And I really think Jonathan Majors would have killed him in a real boxing match.
Maybe. I will be honest. Michael B. Jordan without his shirt on, I'm not kicking him out of bed. He is very attractive and very well built.
Attractive man, but you're not kicking. I might kick him out of bed because he's not my type. But he can definitely go get me a coffee afterwards.
Fair. The best part of the movie, I saw it with my son Dylan. In the same row as us were two women. And at the end boxing match, when the two guys take their robes off, I just heard the two women down the row from me go, "Ugh." just like this sigh of pure joy. I was like, wow, all right.
Well, I'm hoping to get there one day myself, more of a little bit of a, oh, look, he's not that fat anymore. It's really my goal. I'll accept that. But the funny thing is, I do get that now. So maybe Michael B. Jordan could train me to be less fat than I am. But then we go, yeah, I agree with you on everything, Creed 3. I don't want another one, though. That's what I'm trying to say. But this one made the most money in the franchise, didn't it?
Yeah, and they definitely plan on doing more. I know Michael B. Jordan wants to do, like, a whole Creediverse, like, with spinoff movies and whatnot. I think if they're going to continue, I'd actually like to see him jump a few years into the future and have the daughter be the main character. Maybe she takes up boxing like Muhammad Ali's kids.
I thought only one did. The one daughter took up boxing.
Okay, then, yeah.
I saw her probably box. Tatiana? I could be wrong on the name.
I think so.
Doesn't matter. So people were saying Creed 3 is watchable, but take your chances?
Yeah, it's better than Creed 2.
I can't even remember Creed 2. They just all started blending. I remember liking Creed a lot. That's all I remember.
The first one was amazing, but that was also Ryan Coogler. And I think Ryan Coogler is an immensely talented director who needs to get away from Marvel at this time. But that's just my opinion.
100%. Time for him to go.
Yes. All right. So I guess our next film is John Wick Chapter 4, directed by Chad Stahelski, starring Keanu Reeves, Donnie Yen, Bill Skarsgård, Ian McShane, Lawrence Fishburne, Lance Reddick, Shamir Anderson, and Clancy Brown.
Do you want to start or do you want me to start?
I could start.
Go ahead.
This is going to sound way harsher than I intend it to. I loved this movie. I think it was a lot of fun. Just way too long. The action scenes were impeccably staged, incredibly shot. They just went on way too long, and no matter how good something is, if it overstays its welcome, it's going to make you bored. I don't care. I think the movie was a lot of fun, but it could have been cut by 20 minutes to half an hour, I'll be honest. The first big action scene in the Osaka Hotel, it was fun, and then it just kept going. I did not need to see Keanu Reeves take down 20 guys with nunchucks. He could have done 3, and that would have been fine with me. The Arc de Triomphe action scene, that was another one that I felt just went on way too long. You could have cut that by half, and it still would have been thrilling and exciting. And the problem with the Arc de Triomphe scene is cars were going in both directions. So the audience, at least I didn't know who was what, who was where people were trying to go. So you could have cut that out and saved me a lot of confusion. Positively, I think the action scenes were shot gorgeously. The one scene in the abandoned house where it's the camera's facing down and you're looking at the top of Keanu's head as he's going from room to room, blowing people away. that was stunning to look at. The cinematography in general in this film was amazing. I love Donnie Yen as the antagonist slash friend of John Wick. There was a lot to like. I just wish it was shorter.
Okay, let me stop you right there. I 100% disagree with that statement.
Okay.
This, I love action, as you know. Action is my favorite thing to watch, and this film could have had another hour, and I would have been on board.
Okay.
Donnie Yen's action scene, this is probably my favorite John Wick film in the franchise.
Okay.
Absolute. I only can put the Raid 2 action scene, the biggest action I've ever seen in my life, against this film. This now is probably my second favorite action film I've ever seen in my life. So yeah, Donnie, I love Donnie Yen. Don't even piss me off. I just love this guy. So putting him in a film and giving him swords and guns and glasses, I'm in. And ring doorbells. Who goes wrong with ring doorbells? I just think the fight scene I see you had issues with, and that was probably the worst fight scene in the movie, was the Arc de Triomphe. It was hard to follow. It was a lot of gunplay, and it was a lot. I agree. It was a hard film to follow that scene, right? But it follows that up with the best house shoot up you've ever seen in your life. You go, how are they going to triumph this? And it just keeps going. And the scene with the bow and arrows was amazing. And I cannot believe how this director and writers keep making this universe deeper and adding more. And more. I'm like, this is insane. They don't even talk much in this film. But they add so much to it every single time. And who lets John Wick into their building? Like, I'm just thinking, you see, nope, sorry, you can't come in. I love you, but no, your problem.
I actually have a question for you.
Go ahead.
Mr. Nobody. My pet theory is that he was Charon's son.
Could be.
What do you think of that?
Who's Mr. Nobody again? Just so I.
The guy with the dog. Who?
Yes.
Put his hand in.
Yes, I'm thinking the same thing.
Okay.
I'm totally on board with you. The guy, he was my favorite guy. I think he has a whole movie himself.
Yeah, that. I just think he was too important to the story to be introduced and not have any connection to anybody. And then with Charon getting shot and killed so early in the movie.
Could be. Who knows? This movie has, I mean, it's the fourth movie in a franchise. It had more depth to it. More depth than any Marvel movie I've seen lately has done to their universe.
Fair.
John Wick to me is just stellar action. I wish I could say more, but there's really nothing. It's just introducing characters, taking characters out, fighting goons upon goons upon goons upon goons.
Mm-hmm.
And that's my thing. Big spoilers coming I'm going to discuss next. But
okay.
I'm just telling people if they want to skip ahead, this is probably a good time. The end of the film kind of shocked me. But we didn't see something, so I'm presuming there has to be a five.
Yeah, I there's no way this person has left us, shall I say. I think there is very easily, you could very easily do a part five.
Okay, my favorite part was, because my buddy saw this movie because I told him it was out, and he's like, oh my God, I got to go see it. You've already seen this? Yeah, I saw it earlier in the day. And we're discussing the thing. He goes, well, what do you think about that? I said, well, A, I told you that. And I said, but I did know the end. You know when a certain person doesn't shoot?
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, he didn't shoot. I know he didn't. So yeah. I knew that was going to happen. That was the only part I was upset about. And I figured that out. Now, I do have a problem. How do you blow up the Intercontinental in 2 seconds? Now, I'm trying to think, maybe this world exists on a different plane than us. Like they exist in our world. I get that. You know what I mean? But mm-hmm. When they go into one of these hotels, it's a different world plane. Because how is everybody an assassin and me and you don't notice?
how on that basis, how can people at a dance club continue to dance while people are getting axes in the face all around them?
Help me out. Like, do they just, we exist in a different world and they just don't notice?
I saw this with my son Dylan, and he said, how much is that dance club's water bill? They had at least 12 water features nonstop every night.
But I'm just trying to figure these things out. I mean, how many bullets do they spend in this movie? Has somebody ever counted the body count?
I'm sure somewhere.
John Wick film? I'm like, this is just nuts. This film is spectacular. Absolute spectacular. I'm putting it on my top 10 list, and it's, I don't think it's ever going to leave.
It was too long to make my top 10 list. Oh, I think you can easily cut out a half hour.
No, I have to disagree. Films will get to it at other points that should have been shorter. They were only like an hour and a half, and I was pissed off. So John Wick 4 to me is just a fabulous film, people. Just go see it. Don't listen to the Doug. He does not appreciate action.
It's a lot of fun. I had a blast. I saw it twice.
And the play is too long. So you went twice?
I had to go once to see it, and then Dylan was pissed. I went to see it without him, so I had to take him.
Hold on. I'm not letting you off the hook that easily. Good try, though. So you bought tickets for you singly?
Yes.
Went to see the movie, no problem. Then your son found out and gave you crap until you went again?
Yes.
Good dad.
All right. So I will not be facing the fury of the gods. Is that what you're saying?
No, definitely not. But Shazam might be.
Yes. Shazam Fury of the Gods, directed by David F. Sandberg, starring Zachary Levi, Asher Angel, Jack Dylan Grazer, Grace Caroline Curry, Helen Mirren, Lucy Liu, and Rachel Zegler. Now talk about a movie that was too long.
Oh, well, I liked the opening of this movie. I enjoyed the bridge scene. I thought was great. Mm-hmm. Really got me into the movie. I'm like, okay, it was kind of fun. I'm all set. And then the Lucy Liu shows up and they're just wrecking havoc. I'm like, oh, I'm in. This is feeling good. And then they went home. I'm like, oh, why are we here? Started having these stupid conversations about we're not a team, we need to talk about them. I'm like, I don't care. I absolutely have no interest in the home life. I mean, I understand why they have to do it because they have all these people. And then we continue from there, and we go back to the bad people, and then he has that weird Wonder Woman dream, which was kind of like, okay, infatuated with Wonder Woman. Now, my big issue in this movie is Rachel Zegler is terrible. Cannot act.
Oh, I disagree.
Oh, you see, you liked her. See, who I really like is Mary Marvel. It's my favorite.
Okay.
I think Mary Marvel's got it. I mean, Zachary Levi's okay, but I do like Mary Marvel. I think she kind of gets it.
That was my biggest issue with Zachary Levi in this movie.
Just
in the first one, he felt believably naive. He felt like a child in an adult's body.
Yeah.
This one, it felt like he was trying too hard to be a child in an adult's body. He was my biggest issue with the movie. I just didn't care for his performance this time. I think Jack Dylan Glazer, he was my favorite part of this movie. I thought.
Fred Freddy?
Yes.
He's excellent.
I thought he was really good as Freddy. The adult Freddy, Adam Brody, he was all right, but it was really the teenager's story. I kind of think there were too many characters.
I think that was my problem with the home life. Everybody had to have a turn.
Yeah.
And I'm like, why do we have so many of these people? Like, when they turned them in the first movie, I'm like, that's going to be a problem.
Mm-hmm.
Right there, because the movie was pretty much him for the 2/3, and then they show up at the end.
Yes.
And then it's this. I'm like, oh, this is just, it bogs it down.
Yes, it does. The one thing I did like was when they said, okay, we owe our parents the truth. We're superheroes. And then the one says, I'm gay. And they're like, yeah, we know. It's cool.
Yeah, whatever.
I like that part. I thought that was really funny and touching. But, But yeah, I just felt this was kind of too long. The big cameo at the end, just the tone of it was really out of place for me.
The cameo at the end was filmed at two different times.
I could see that.
Because somebody wasn't there when they filmed it.
But it was the cameo's attitude just felt completely wrong.
I like the joke. The joke was good.
I don't even remember the joke. It was the whole, you know.
I'm almost 18.
Okay. It was my problem was the attitude with, there are no gods left. Well, there is one. And that it was just that attitude didn't fit in with the whole Shazam family for me. I don't know. It felt out of place to me.
The second end credit did, though. Did you see that or no?
I did.
I thought that was a better. I wish that we didn't need the first one. We kind of do need the first one just to fix it for the next one. But I like the end of this one. But I don't think there's going to be a Shazam 3.
No, probably not. Unless somehow it fits into James Gunn's plans. I don't see him wanting to do a Justice Society film.
I don't know. I mean, who knows? I mean, we really don't know much about James Gunn's universe yet.
No, not yet.
And we're waiting for one big film still to drop, and then I think he'll kick his off after that.
Yes. Well, what's crazy is we're waiting for the one big film, and then there's still two more to come after it.
But one's been delayed so long. It's supposed to come out last year, I think.
Aquaman?
Yes.
Yes, but I think that's getting late. Isn't that coming out around Christmas time this year?
Yes.
So, I don't know. But we still have, after The Flash, we still have Blue Beetle and Aquaman.
Yeah, and did you watch the Blue Beetle trailer? Because I have not.
I did.
Help me out. Am I going to be happy?
I honestly have no idea. I am fully 100% in the superhero fatigue right now.
So you 100% think I should break my rule and watch the Blue Beetle trailer?
No, I don't. If I'm honest, it looks entirely generic to me.
Okay.
But then again, most superhero movies coming out now feel entirely generic to me.
See, I would say I have superhero fatigue, but though I would argue I have John Wick fatigue, but I love John Wick. So I think the problem with superhero movies is they're not making good ones. And that's my issue, that I'm not seeing any development in the superhero genre. Give me an interesting script. Like Ant-Man 3 was terrible.
Yes.
Shazam Fear of the Gods, not too good.
I would say I liked it better than Black Adam, but that, again, is not, that's not hard to do. Black Adam, I thought, was terrible.
It was, but my argument is the DC needs to do better. And I'm hoping with James Gunn, they can do better.
Yeah, I mean, I love Gunn's Suicide Squad movie. I watched that like 6 or 7 times.
Of course you did. I
had a lot of fun with it.
You're allowed to.
I love Idris Elba, so.
So do I, but that was not for me. Level 2, I've had enough of Harley. Let's leave it at that.
All right, so our next film is Dungeons & Dragons, Honor Among Thieves, directed by John Francis Daly and Jonathan M. Goldstein, starring Chris Pine, Michelle Rodriguez, Regé Jean Page, Justice Smith, Sophia Lillis, and Hugh Grant.
Oh, Hugh Grant, yes.
Yes. I will be 100% honest. I had a load of fun with this movie.
Oh, great. That's what I wanted to hear.
From Empire Magazine and the Empire Podcast presenter and reviewer Chris Hewitt, he has said that Chris Pine – is a character actor in a leading man's body.
100% correct.
I agree with that. I think Chris Pine, he kind of carries this movie on his shoulder. And I think the movie's better for it. I think he brings out the best in his co-stars. I will be honest, I'm not a big Michelle Rodriguez fan.
No one is.
But I think she did really good here playing off of Chris Pine. I think Justice Smith, I think this is one of his better performances. I had fun with him here. Sophia Lillis, I like seeing the It kids in movies. Jack Dylan Glazer and Shazam Fury of the Gods and now Sophia Lillis here. I just had a lot of fun with it. It was very predictable. You knew what was going to happen. You knew that when he got the Tablet of Resurrection, he would have to use it for somebody else, not his wife. But I think he gave it the heart that I actually believed. His performance. I had a lot of fun with this. I haven't played Dungeons & Dragons since I was in high school, but it made me want to go back. I had fun here. I could tell that you did not.
Oh, definitely great. Time to go. I'm come to the point with Chris Pine that I've had enough. I don't want to see Chris Pine in a leading role ever again. You're done, Chris. You're done. Go to Gerard Butler and play, and that's where you're going.
Disagree.
I tried so hard to get into this, Doug, being a diehard Dungeons and Dragons fan. Watched every episode of the cartoon, played in high school. I'm like, what is this? It just seemed like a mash of things put together. I did not like the CG. That was my biggest issue with the CG. I just felt the times just stopped into scenes. I'm like, and just Easter eggs here. I'm like, oh, really? Don't touch it. I'm like, the chest is going to pop. I know it is. Mm-hmm. But maybe my problem was I thought the acting was very stiff. Michelle Rodriguez just does not ever do anything for me. And I did not like the cast other than a couple of people. The part I did like was Hugh Grant. Hugh Grant on screen was like a breath of fresh air for me. Whenever he showed up, I was like, oh, Hugh. And I got to give it credit. I did enjoy the end scene.
Okay.
The big action scene at the end was like, okay, this is what I was kind of looking for, was more of this, as opposed to a ragtag bunch of losers trying to do a quest. But I quite enjoyed the end scene. I thought that was good. Okay. That, to me, was what I expected from Dungeons & Dragons.
See, my absolute favorite scene was the spell where you can resurrect a dead person and ask it 5 questions.
It was hysterical.
That was my absolute favorite scene in the movie.
When the guy goes, hold on, you have another question. Well, he's still going on and on and on. They just go, I'm done. And they just walk away.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what are you doing? Leave me here. Hysterical.
That was good. I will got to say that was a good bit of comedy writing there. I did quite like that scene. That did make me laugh, that one scene. I just need a little bit more cohesive plot for me. Does that make sense? I need it to, like, flow a little bit more as opposed to going up and down and bumpy. And I'm like, rid of Chris Pine. Let's get some new people in here.
To me, that was the chaotic energy of actually playing a D&D game because you don't know what your teammates are going to do. So it would have the ups and downs, and not everybody will always be on the same page. I like that. I like that aspect. The one thing I didn't care for was the big cameo. Michelle Rodriguez's ex.
I'm trying to remember who that was now. I know I watched the film. I did watch it when it came out, though.
shall I spoil?
No, leave it. Let them watch it. They'll come back to me. It'll come back.
Oscar-nominated cameo.
I'm trying to remember now. Maybe I'm so pissed off at the film by then. I just off one. It's right at the end, too.
No, it was in the middle. It was when they visited her her homestead. Her ex-husband that she visited.
I cannot remember. I did not like this film. So when I laughed, blank. They literally could have asked me who was in it. And I'm like, Hugh Grant? I think I saw him. Like, it would have been one of those. I really disliked this film. So I just think it needed to be a little more cohesive dialogue for me. I did not enjoy the CGI. I didn't see a barbarian, so that probably really annoyed me.
Fair. Okay.
And just things like that. I need more creatures, I think, is what I wanted. I would have wanted more creature features than fighting a bit more as opposed to wandering around aimlessly.
Okay. There was a big fat dragon.
There was a big fat dragon. I did like the big fat dragon a lot, but maybe I should rewatch it. Maybe I'll change my opinion. Maybe I just need to put on blindfolds when Chris Pine never stops talking and then I'll be fine. I'm glad you enjoyed it. I think it is fine. I think people will get the humor in this at times.
The scene where his hologram, like, skips, I thought that was hysterical.
So, I guess he's just out. I kind of say Dungeons & Dragons was not for me, but I didn't expect it to be. It's already on VOD pretty much next week, I think.
I think so.
So that tells me they had no expectations for this either.
Yeah, I had a lot of fun with it. I thought it was a big, fun summer blockbuster.
They make more. I'll watch them. Like, I'm not going to say it because I watch everything. So, except for the movie with the puzzles, I haven't quite had time to watch.
Okay.
But it's not about puzzles, is it?
So I guess we can now talk about the Boston Strangler.
Yes, Keira Knightley found a job. Yes,
directed by Matt Ruskin, starring Keira Knightley, Carrie Coon, Chris Cooper, Alessandro Nivola, Rory Cochran, and David DeSmalchin.
I guess it's my turn to start. I think this is two-thirds of a fantastic film.
Okay.
I was on board when they were doing all the research and going to find everything out and getting everything together and just, you know, building the case. I was in, 100% on board. Now, when I had problems was at the end, but the problem is there is no end to the story. And I think that kind of screwed up the movie at the end because they never know who the Boston Strangler was.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of like, okay, I kind of get it. I felt bad because I felt the home life I found was very dull when they – I understand why they did it, but it didn't do anything for me. I kind of like, I wish – I wanted to spend more time with them, like Keira Knightley and the other person. I like – Carrie Coon was amazing.
Yes. She's always
blows me away. Keira Knightley it's Keira Knightley. She's fine.
She was better in this than she's been recently.
I 100% agree. Better, but still not good. I liked – All the police stuff I thought was fabulous.
Mm-hmm.
I love the news reporting. I had to sit there and watch everything at the end and just soak up what happened to everybody in the film. And I mean, her getting divorced, I was not surprised.
Yeah. I watched this with my wife and she's, you know, big true crime person. So she was able to tell me everything about DeSalvo that, you know, this movie was accurate in that a lot of people don't think DeSalvo committed all the crimes that he was scapegoated into confessing to all the murders when there was more than one. But she actually knew nothing about the reporters. So that was all new to her.
Well, that's the best part of the movie is the reporters.
Yes. Because, I mean, honestly, we've seen serial killer movies now so many times. It's hard to find new ways to tell that story, which is kind of why I like last year's The Good Nurse from Netflix.
Oh, here we go. Another movie I thought was just okay.
See, I like that one a lot because I thought it was a new and interesting way to tell a serial killer story.
Well, same with The Boston Strangler. I'll give you that. It was a new, good way. But I hear a lot of complaints. It's like Zodiac. I'm like, man, a little bit.
But, yeah, I got a big Zodiac feel when Keira Knightley went to go interview the guy who had the scarf. And he's like, oh, yeah, just come inside. I'll That felt very much like the scene where Jake Gyllenhaal talks to the guy in the basement of the house in The Zodiac. I enjoyed this movie. It was definitely not a favorite of mine. But it's streaming on Hulu for free. Well, not free if you pay for Hulu, but if you have Hulu, I'd recommend watching it some rainy night if you're looking for some creepy atmosphere.
Why did you feel about the wrap up at the end? They wrapped this up quick.
I didn't want the movie to go on longer, though, if that makes sense.
I agree. I just wanted to be – I don't know what I was looking for. Something in that last 20 minutes to keep me entertained, and I think it lost it there. And I don't know what. I just feel they ran out of story.
Because I think that's kind of how the story ended in real life.
They did tell you the one guy got convicted from killing his girlfriend, but we knew that. I think that was pretty evident.
Mm-hmm. I think that's just kind of how the story ends. Everybody wanted it to be DeSalvo who did all the killings. So when he gets shanked in prison, that's kind of the end for the cops. They weren't going to investigate anymore. And
they want it wrapped. They don't want it hanging over their head.
And like Carrie Coon said, our job is to report the news, not make it. So they just went on to other stories. I mean, there really wasn't much left to tell after DeSalvo gets killed.
Exactly. So I don't know. I don't know what I wanted, but I didn't get it. I wish I could get a better answer. I just didn't feel it was there.
That's fair. And I do apologize for spoiling a true life story that you could read on Wikipedia and find the real stories many places.
I watched this film. I picked this film. This is my list. Mm-hmm. Or because I didn't know anything about the Boston Strangler.
I had actually got it confused with a different Strangler, the Hillside Strangler.
Well, maybe that's our next movie.
They were in and that was a pair of cousins who did the killings. So I was like, oh, Tina's my wife. This is the movie with the two killers, right? She goes, you're getting your stranglers mixed up. That's the Hillside Stranglers. And technically you're right. There are more than one Boston Strangler, but only one person's ever been convicted for. So I got an entire history lesson before the movie started.
You could argue two, because the one guy is convicted.
Yes, but not specifically, I don't think for that one murder, not for the Boston murders.
Okay, fair enough.
What do we have next?
I don't know.
I don't know what I was expecting from this movie, but it was not what I got. It's Pinball, The Man Who Saved the Game, directed by Austin and Meredith Bragg, starring Mike Feist, Crystal Reed, and Dennis Badisakaris. I cannot pronounce his name, and I apologize for butchering that.
I love pinball. It's one of my favorite things to play. When arcades were around, I was the guy that played pinball. So when I heard this came out, I'm like, I have no idea what this film's about. Mm-hmm. Not a clue. I'm like, well, it's got to be a documentary, I guess. But I don't know. I'm going to put it on the list and see what Doug says. He could say, no, I'm not going to watch it. And we would have changed him. But I just thought it was something that we should have looked into. Because I don't think a lot of podcasts were going to touch this one.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to say, I was somewhat surprised. It wasn't like riveting. Do not think at any time I was like, wow, this is amazing. But what I learned by the end of the film is this guy's life was kind of dull. Like there's nothing really. He did save pinball, but I want to read his book.
Okay.
I learned after watching this, I enjoyed when he got about halfway through, actually a lot. I like when he gets the job and meets all the characters.
Okay.
At the men's magazine, I thought that was fascinating. The home stuff, I couldn't care less about. I did like when he went to do the interviews with all the pinball guys.
Okay.
I thought that was really well done. The courtroom thing was kind of like, kind of quick, I thought. It was kind of like a lot of tension for nothing.
Okay.
I love the end of the film when he goes, pinball? Still got it. And they open the lights and show his room. Like, okay, I like that. But other than that, I don't think there's anything to this film. It's very basic.
Yeah, it was very basic, but I have to say, I liked it a lot more than I thought I would.
So good. I'm glad, because I was worried about putting this on the list. I'm being honest. Saying, I don't know if Doug's into pinball.
See, I enjoy playing pinball. I didn't really care that much more than playing it myself. But I loved Mike Feist in West Side Story. I thought he was
amazing, Mike Feist. He's the whole reason this film works.
Yeah, I thought he was amazing in West Side Story. So I'm like, oh, what's he going to do here? He holds this movie together.
100%.
You said you didn't care for the domestic stuff.
I love Mike Feist. Mm-hmm. I know it was okay. I just didn't find it interesting.
I enjoyed the domestic stuff mostly because I thought Feist was so charming.
He's wonderful. There's nothing wrong with the acting. I like the acting. I love the chick from Gotham. Is it Gotham? Gotham, that plays his wife.
Yeah, Crystal Reeve. I had never seen her before.
Gotham? You didn't watch
Gotham? No, I watched like the first 5 episodes of Gotham
I've seen every episode. So I didn't see who I was. Okay. No, very attractive. I liked it, but it's just stuff I'd seen before, you know, but the acting was excellent.
I thought they had really good chemistry together.
They did, giving you that. Like I said, I'm not holding anything against this movie.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't think there's much to it.
No, there isn't, but it was a big star vehicle for Mike Feist and that mustache of his, but I really
there's no way that's real.
I don't know. It could have been. He could have grown it out for this film.
I don't know. I thought that was a fake stash the whole time. But they comment on it. The guy makes a comment. Yep, that's really my stash.
Uh-huh.
I was like, oh, okay.
So, yeah, this movie made me excited to see what Feist will do in the future. I think he's shown me that he could do more than just sing and dance.
Oh, let's back up. When he goes to the adult film bookstore,
mm-hmm.
to play pinball, and Crystal goes to him, what's behind the curtain? I don't know.
Yes.
It was great. That did make me laugh.
I like the owner of the adult shop. Where he's like, you know, listen, buddy, you're not even in the top 10 weirdest things I've seen here.
That was great.
Yeah.
I could have had a job in this movie.
Oh, really?
I think I should have been in it. I think I could have played that guy in the adult bookstore. Just sat there and read the whole time.
That guy is actually Connor Ratliff. He's a comedian from New York, so.
Have you seen him live or anything?
I have not. I've seen, like, clips online,
well,
to be honest.
I know one person on the show that's in Montreal every year just for laughs, so maybe he will see Connor Radcliffe this year. Look for him. So, yeah, I guess the only thing we say about this, there's not much to it. It's fun little watch.
Yeah, there's nothing in it to offend anybody.
No, but it moves quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Gives you a highlight story, and I, like I said, I want to read the book now.
Okay.
And that's it. I'm glad you liked it. I was worried about I almost didn't put this on the list.
Really? I liked it a lot more than I thought I would.
And it was one of these weird things. I kept reading about it. I'm like, you know what? I gotta put this on the list. I want to know this story. Like, okay. I knew nothing about this story. The man just said, I'm like, what is this about? Like, you know, the Strangler I knew nothing about, too. So I'm like, everybody gives me crap for not putting documentaries on occasionally, so I did.
Okay.
I thought you'd be happy.
Well, you certainly didn't make me want to kill Boxoon.
Come on. This was a perfect movie to go with John Wick.
If you say so. Kill Boxoon was directed by... Byung Sung Hyun.
Get me didn't like this one.
I will be a spoiler. I did not.
Oh, see, now we're going to differ. I loved it.
Let's see. Starring Jean Duyen, Sol Kyung-gu, and Kim Sia. All right, since I have already given my opinion, I could tell you why I did not care for this movie.
You go for it.
Okay. I felt it wanted to be like John Wick, but completely lacked the charm that Keanu and Chad Stahelski brings to it. I think this movie, it was just a clash of mood and style throughout the entire thing. It opened with the kind of a fun hit scene where she, you know, gives him his sword and she has the axe. None of the rest of the movie had that tone to it for me. I didn't think there was the fun. That was like everything else was felt to me super serious in the film. This was the only hit that had a fun tone to it. So yeah, to me it was just a clash. It wanted to build a world like John Wick with all the assassins everywhere. I just don't think it was entirely successful for me. I just did not like this movie, if I'm being honest.
Oh, see, well, I did enjoy this movie. I liked the fun. What I liked about it was John Wick was missing was the home scenes. I love the scenes between her and her daughter. Okay. Absolutely riveting. I love that. I love the scenes when she's out with all the girls. So what do you do? I'm an event planner. Just love that. I did have an issue with her boss scenes. I'm kind of like, these aren't working for me. I don't know. They don't make sense. They're not really flushed out. They kind of seem kind of clumsy. And the boss's little, I don't know, girlfriend or whatever she is.
Sister.
That was his sister?
It took me forever to realize that. Yes, they are brother and sister.
She's annoying. You know, I did love the scene. You see the comedy, but I think the comedy comes back when they come together. And the scene in the bar was fabulous. That was an excellent scene.
That was a good action scene. Yes. But it didn't have the humor to it, I don't think.
I think it did, because they make jokes. They do definitely. The humor is here.
The humor fell flat for me then.
Okay, then that's fair. I can accept that. I think she makes jokes. I mean, I did love the end of the film. I thought that was really good. The end of the film was good. I don't know. I mean, John Wick liked me. I can see where you're going. I mean, there is not a lot of plot here. She's a person. My problem is she bad at her job or good at her job? I couldn't figure this out by the end.
I think she's supposed to be good.
Yeah, but we don't see her being good.
The only time we see her being good at her job is when she takes out all of her friends.
Yeah.
I just... Like I said, it was just a mishmash of tone and style that just didn't work for me.
Well, we have the same problem at the end of the film we did in the middle. Like, the end of the film seems a little bit of a mess to me, too.
Mm-hmm.
Much as I like the film, I'm kind of like, is there a point to this?
Yeah, at first I was trying to decide if she has, like, a precognition precog power, like is she actually seeing this, or is she just so good at her job that she can
the same thing.
Predict how people are going to react? So I'm guessing there's no actual real superpowers. She's just playing it all out in her mind visually for us to see. But I don't know. I think they were going for something cool at the end when you see tons of her and her boss all throughout the room. It just got too crowded for me. I couldn't concentrate on one.
I had the same problem with that scene. Just like, what's going on here? I'm a little confused. And I wanted to know how it was going to end. I really did care about the last scene, because I do care about the mother-daughter relationship. So
I get that.
I do like that. So I think that's it. Are we done? We made it through another episode?
We have one more.
Oh.
One more movie. What? The Return of Godzilla.
Oh,
Directed by Koji Yoshimoto.
It wouldn't be a list without Godzilla movie.
I could tell why you forgot about it. It's a movie so boring, even Godzilla takes a nap in it.
It does. This is like half a film plot.
Yes.
Like, I'm sitting there going, they start off introducing these parasites on Godzilla at the beginning. No, the parasites attack some guy in a boat.
Yes. Yeah,
never come back. Never see them again. They're gone. What? Where'd they go? Aren't we supposed to have something with these? Nope, they're gone. Oh, okay. And then we spend the next almost 40 minutes with the professor.
Yeah.
Studying. Oh, wait, look at this. I think I can get Godzilla. This, that, and they discuss Godzilla tons of times. Mm-hmm. With his really bad female actors just annoying the crap out of me.
Oh, you see, I had a problem with one of the dubbing artists. The people were bad. There was one guy who kept saying Godzilla.
Godzilla!
Yeah.
I do have a few questions. Mm-hmm. When Godzilla is attacking a city, why is the train still running?
It's damn good because apparently Godzilla sometimes needs to take a nap and just falls asleep against a building for a good portion of the runtime.
Okay. Godzilla attacks and nobody evacuates the buildings?
Yeah. I mean, one thing I like the look of Godzilla in this movie.
Oh, that's great.
I thought the suit was awesome, but if you're looking for a movie, a modern movie with Godzilla attacking a city, Shin Godzilla. I thought that movie was amazing.
We're getting there.
Love that movie.
We're getting there. We got a long way. We're only at like number 16 of 30.
This one was, I loved it.
That's my favorite one yet. It's coming soon. One of my favorite ones is coming soon.
I loved this movie as a kid. Okay.
So the guy finally figures out what to do. And I'm kind of like, what is going on here? What is Godzilla's motivation? He has none. He comes to get some electricity and leaves. Everybody wants to use nukes. Oh, now I remember what I want to get to. He had no motivation. Why are the U.S. and the Russians hanging out? I'm like, what?
Because they wanted to sell the movie into other markets.
I'm like, really? So you're going to get rid of Godzilla by tricking him and listening to bird patterns? And that's the way it works? And that train was packed. I want to go back to the train. That train was packed.
Yes.
Like, it got so, just like, I can't even take this seriously anymore. It's so bad.
Well, there was one guy on the train who, like, was looking at Godzilla and smiling.
Yes.
And I'm like, why are you smiling? You're going to die in 10 seconds.
Oh, God. This movie is a flaming pile of crap, but I enjoyed every minute of it. As always, I love Godzilla. And I enjoy my Godzilla movies, and I'm going to keep doing them until I'm done.
See, I loved this movie as a kid. It was amazing to me. But rewatching it now, I can understand why my dad was like, oh, God, not this movie again.
I rewatched this. I think it might be my first time seeing this one.
Okay. I remember seeing it in the theater when it was released in America as Godzilla 1985.
Okay, then I have seen this. I was sitting here watching this going, did I see this in 85? Because I would have been 14 in grade 9, and I know me and my buddy went to see a Godzilla at the worst theater I've ever been in my life. It was literally the size of your backyard, and you go in, you're like, there was nobody there. We were the only two guys, I think, in the whole theater. And it was tiny. Now it's like a donut store or something. I can't believe, I mean, it probably was bigger back then, but I don't remember. So I did see this in 85. So I did see this movie before in theaters. Good. Yes. It made me feel better. Because I looked at it, 84, I go, no, I couldn't have seen this then. But you're saying it was released earlier that I have seen it in theaters.
Yes.
This is my second time seeing it. It's just as bad as I remember. Yes. So, Doug, always the big question, did you buy anything?
I do have a couple of movies here.
Just a couple? No sales this month?
No, not really. But let's see, I got a, what do I have? The amusement park. The lost George Romero movie that was found and released last year.
Oh.
Living, recently Oscar nominated for lead actor and screenplay.
The only movie I did not see.
I haven't seen it yet, but I wanted to watch the Kurosawa Ikuru first. So.
Which I've not seen either since then. I've not seen Living.
This one's just a classic. Got it in 4K, Terminator 2.
Yeah, I've never heard of it.
Yeah, some weird indie movie by some guy named James Cameron.
Cameron, Arnold, I can't say his name.
Yeah, some weird foreign name.
Yeah.
And then one last one, I got Crimson Rivers on Blu-ray. I haven't seen this movie
in about
a decade.
Never heard of it.
I remember it being good. It's Jean Reno, Vincent Cassel, and
French. Well, two great people I like, so.
It's a French serial killer movie. It's got
a French movie because those two guys are French. So is that it, Doug? We're finally finished another great episode of Extra Features.
That is it.
If they make it.
We will watch it and then take a nap like Godzilla.
Absolutely. Night all.
Good night.